From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Today's meditation is entitled, Reflectors of the Lord's Beauty. The text is Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The portion of other men fills their bodies and enriches their children. But the portion of the believer is of another sort. Men of the world have their treasure in this world, but men of the world to come look higher and further. Our possession is twofold. We have God's presence here and His likeness hereafter. Here we behold the face of the Lord in righteousness, for we are justified in Christ Jesus. Oh, the joy of beholding the face of a reconciled God! The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ yields us heaven below, and it will be to us the heaven of heavens above. But seeing does not end it. We are to be changed into that which we gaze upon. We shall sleep a while, and then wake up to find ourselves as mirrors which reflect the beauties of our Lord. Faith sees God with a transforming look. The heart receives the image of Jesus into its own depths, till the character of Jesus is imprinted on the soul. This is satisfaction, to see God and to be like Him. What more can I desire? David's assured confidence is here by the Holy Ghost made to be the Lord's promise. I believe it. I expect it. Lord, vouchsafe it. Amen. Pastor A.W. Tozer was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. A self-made scholar with an insatiable hunger for the deep things of God, he was known to often burn the midnight oil in his study, seeking a more profound experience of his Lord and Savior. His book, The Pursuit of God, is the result of long meditation and much prayer. It is not a collection of sermons. It does not deal with the pulpit and the pew, but with the soul athirst for God. Some of the chapter titles include Apprehending God, The Gaze of the Soul, and Meekness and Rest. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God. This edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called The Great Physician. In the healing of the leper, recorded in Matthew chapter 8, Christ demonstrated his sovereignty over disease. By the words, "Be thou clean," he showed his authority. His word accomplishes whatever his will decrees. There is a potency in Christ's touch that causes the unclean to become clean. By sending the cleansed leper to see the priest, Jesus declared his authenticity, for his work fulfilled the demands of God's law. This is vital in our salvation, for as Paul states in Romans chapter 3, it is through Christ's death that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Christ the Great Physician.
If anything's ever going to be done that's worth doing in America, it'll not be done by act of Congress or decision of the Supreme Court, or they may come aboard. It will be done by the power of the Word of God. That's the only way. That's why it's so crazy for Christians to take all their energies and wrap them up in getting a new act of Congress. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are acts of Congress I want to see passed. The decisions of the court I want to see taken. And I'm not advocating that we leave all that to the enemies of truth. But I'm saying it's crazy to spend all our energy in those things and fail to be moved ourselves and then to seek to move the nation by the Word of God. What I want to see in this church, what I want to see in the free church, and especially what I want to see among the young men rising up in this church is a vision, a conviction, a burning conviction that if I am going to do anything great, it will not be by becoming a millionaire. It will not be by becoming a celebrity. It will not be by this, that, or the other thing that the world counts great. I can make a difference for God and for truth by being a man of this word. And I can do nothing greater than to spread this word with power through this nation to the ends of the earth. It's my burden for the young of this congregation. Because I tell you, there's authority in the name and in the word of our Savior. Speak the word only. Do you see what the centurion was saying? This is why the Lord Jesus said, "This is the greatest faith I have found in all of Israel." It was in a Roman centurion. Even the disciples hadn't arrived at this place. He said, "Lord, I'm just a centurion. I have officers who can order me around. But even a little pygmy like me, I have soldiers under me. And in those 100 men, I can say, 'You're my servant, do this,' and he's got to do it." The implication is you are the Lord of all. This disease is as amenable to your command as the meanest soldier is in my band to me. Speak the word only. That's the language of faith. But you know, it's also the essence of faith. Do you see what Jesus said? This is great faith. But he says, "Many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Many like this centurion will come in and be saved. Why was he saying that? Because by grace are you saved through faith. And this was his faith. And then he says, "But the children of the kingdom." I may preach in these verses again sometime. Years ago I preached a message called simply Heaven and Hell. Verses 11 and 12 of Matthew 8. This is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible that I know. Heathens are coming into the kingdom. Thank God for that. But the children of the kingdom, the people who have been brought up under the sound of God's truth, the people who have learned passages of God's word, the people who know all the right answers to the theological questions, the people who have been in the church, you'd expect them to embrace the gospel. But the children of the kingdom, cast out into hell. Why? Because their faith is not in Christ. I want you to listen very carefully. Especially all of you who had Christian parents or were brought up in the church, or have gone through the Sunday school, or have had the way of salvation explained again and again and again and again and again and again. I want you to listen very carefully. I believe there are millions of people just like you in the darkness of God's hell. Children of the kingdom, rejecting Christ, perishing in their sin. Is that what's happening to you? Your father's faith and your mother's devotion will never bring you to heaven. You must have Christ. And I want to tell you the authority of Christ's word will reach you as you come to him. And it will be just as effective and instantaneous as it was in the case of the centurion servant. And will give you an instant deliverance. Time forbids that I'd wanted to take time to deal with the potency of Christ's touch. How he touched the leper. Took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand. And as the crowds came upon him at the end of the day, he touched them all. I want you to think of it, though I'll not take time to preach much on it. Again, one of the loveliest things about Christ and one of the great proofs of his divinity. You know, everybody else who touched a leper became unclean. Everybody else who touches sin is defiled by the sin. But the Lord Jesus was the impeccable Christ. He not only did not sin, but could not sin, could not be defiled. And when he put his hand on the leper, instead of the leprosy defiling him, he destroyed it. That's what he does with every sin. The sin that defiles you and me and spreads filth and defilement wherever it goes, once it's brought in contact with the touch of Christ, it is defeated and destroyed. What does it tell you this morning? What do you need in your life? Whatever your sin, whatever your failure, however deep your problem, however strong the chains that bind you, however filthy and defiling your heart and your life have become, what do you need? You need simply the touch of the Master's hand. And when that touch touches you, thank God, it will destroy what's destroying you. For all the energy and all the strength of deity manifest in flesh flows through the touch of the Savior to the needy soul. I finish with one thing. There's something that's easy to overlook, and that's the authenticity of Christ's work. Notice what he said to the leper, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, the leper didn't want to do that. The leper wanted to stay and tell everybody what had happened. The Lord Jesus quickly sent him away. In fact, in Mark chapter 1, dealing with the case of leprosy that's mentioned there, the word is that really he cast him away. It's a strong word. He threw him out. Not because he didn't want him, but he didn't want and he didn't need the notoriety that came from this man's trumpeting of what had just happened. You see, people were fascinated with miracles. And you can get so fascinated with miracles that you lose sight of Christ. And that's what was happening. So the Lord Jesus sent him away, but he had another greater reason for sending him away. You see, the work of Christ has to stand up to the scrutiny of the law of God. The work of Christ has to gain the testimony of the law of God that it's a perfect work. In other words, the law had to pronounce the leper clean. Otherwise, the whole work of Christ would appear a delusion. Remember that the Jews had no hope for a leper. Lepers were dead while they lived. And yet, here had the priest knew this leper, and here he was, and he was healed. Jesus says, go for a testimony to them. Don't want to follow this through, but you see something. Those legal experts, from that moment onwards, were without excuse. This is one reason Jesus later said to Capernaum, you've been exalted to heaven, you will be brought down to hell. He gave those legal experts the greatest proof of who he was when he sent the leper. They pronounced the leper clean, but they dismissed and rejected the one who had made him clean. We bit like people today. There have been doctors, thinking of one just in a minute, who marveled that Jesus Christ could change a drunkard like that, make him sober that he never got drunk again? This doctor spent his life working among alcoholics and said, I've seen this again and again. Fascinates me. But he rejected the Christ who did the work. That's what they did. But nonetheless, the law said, he's clean. This is the beauty of the Savior's work. He satisfies the law. And because of what he does, the law pronounces us acceptable. I hope you begin to see that the miracles of Christ are sermons in action. They're theology indeed. In other words, what Jesus did for the leper, he does for every leprous sinner who comes to him. And the law stands over the believer in Jesus. What does he say? What does it say? I find no fault. Can you imagine that? The Ten Commandments standing in judgment over you and me and saying, guiltless. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. Oh, I trust today that you'll know him. Because all these incidents prove that he's the sole help of the needy. Who could help the leper? Who could heal the centurion's servant? Or any of the rest of those sick people? Who could cast out Satan? Who could rid the man with the unclean spirit in that synagogue of that defiling and demonic presence? Certainly religion couldn't do it. It was in the synagogue, after all, that he was demon-possessed. Religion couldn't help him. Christ is the hope and the help of all in need. I trust this morning that you'll catch something of a sight of the great physician. Not only a physician of the body, but a physician of the soul. Make sure today of two things. Make sure that you, before you go out through those doors, know Christ as your physician and your Savior. And then second, make sure that since you know him, the supreme end of your life, the purpose of your being, will be to make him known. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We praise thee that he is the sympathizing Jesus. We thank thee that he is the authoritative Son of God. We thank thee for his sovereign will, for his authoritative word. We thank thee for his saving touch. We thank thee for his authenticated work. That the very law of God accepts the work of Christ and those who are covered by it. Our God, we bless thee for justifying grace and sanctifying power. We look forward even to the glorification that certainly awaits all who are in Christ Jesus, for whom he justified, them he also glorified. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt speak thy word with power to every heart. We pray that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ. Grant that not one man, woman, boy, or girl will go out of this place rejecting the Lord Jesus. Especially do we pray for those whom we would think of as children of the kingdom, with all the advantages of hearing the gospel from their youth up. Lord, we would pray that thou wilt give them saving faith. And our God, we pray that thou wilt not give them up to their lusts and to this awful condemnation of being cast out into outer darkness. Give our young people, and indeed all thy people here, give to us all a burden to go forth on the authority of the word of Christ and to let loose among the people of America and the world the power of the word of God unto salvation. Lord, make us daring for God, daring for Christ, daring in the exploits of the gospel. Lord, make us a people who love the souls of men and women and give our lives to bring them to Christ. So, Lord, hear our cry and part us with thy richest blessing. be the portion of all thy believing people this Sabbath day, and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.